We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
O'clock hour is the Funky Buddha happy hour. We love our friends at the Funky Buddha Brewery.
They're amazing.
That's not a bad Father's Day idea.
Father's Day?
Because my wife and kid were saying, hey, where do you want to go eat for Father's Day? You know what? I hadn't even thought of that. I'm thinking about Sunday. Looks better than the Yucca Tots.
I would love it. You celebrate Father's Day, Charles?
I mean, I'm definitely getting a meal out of it, at least. You're not going to get a meal out of it?
No one said anything to me and my whole family.
A beer? You're not going to get a beer?
I'm going to give myself some Funky Buddha, like I always do. But now it's getting tough, man, because I love the Hop Gun, but they have all these IPAs out now, man. They're just delicious.
What was the new one that you were...
The Creek Jumper Double IPA with peach.
Oh, that's going to be delicious. In honor of you.
The El Camino.
That was the one. You told us El Camino was the new Funky Buddha brew that you like.
It's like a New England style IPA, and then they have the Cosmic Journey, the Hazy IPA. Like, I'm Funky Buddha. I'm going to mix them all together.
I think I might go to Funky Buddha Tap Room for Father's Day. I think that is going to be... I was trying to think of a place, and now that makes a lot of sense. I love those Yucca Tots.
Can your wife and son, could they split Father's Day with me? Could we be the fathers?
Come on over.
Can I, you know,
we
get
got
a little
you.
Love?
Yeah, we got you. I'm sure your kids and wife are planning something for Father's Day.
Oh, I bet.
Somebody texted in, man, first of all, the text flooded in for the Dono segment there. Those, and then our program director, Len, he's cracking up outside. He's like, this is such gold. And so I said, you haven't seen the videos, though, because he's not on Twitter. And I went to Alex Dono's Twitter account. I was showing him the videos. And Dono, I mean, God bless him, just his face is just smothered by the pillow, and his eyelids are just drooping, and it is so golden.
The downfall you hear, you can see it.
You see it. Well. You see it happening. Oh. It is so great. Somebody texted in, though. Let's see if I can find it. There are a whole bunch of people texting in about Dono and those videos. But somebody, it was the segment before that when we were talking about Steph Curry. Someone suggested, you guys sound like you lost a lot of money on Golden State. We didn't.
No.
Crowder, I didn't bet it, but I had the Klay Thompson over, which it didn't hit. Over on three-pointers didn't hit because he went down with the torn ACL. But Crowder had money on the Raptors.
No, and I won a lot of money on the Raptors all series.
He was thrilled.
What do they matter? Us saying he's not a great player? He's a great shooter?
But we're not saying... I'm not saying that he's not a great player, because I do think he's a great player. I think he's been exposed a little bit, though, as not the second coming of... Like, I think 5 years ago, we thought if you put Steph Curry on any team, they're going to the finals, because he can hit shots from anywhere on the floor.
Yep.
Now, people do guard him a little tighter now. You didn't back then, because the notion of someone taking threes six steps behind the three-point arc was crazy. No one had been doing that. So, obviously, you had a little more room to make those shots. But now I think people D him up a little bit more. But I don't think he's not a great player. But someone texted in, if you were picking teams, who would you pick first, Steph Curry or Russell Westbrook?
Russell.
Curry.
That's a tough one, man. I've been debating that in my head since the guy texted it in.
Steph will never get a triple-double. Never.
He has.
Consistently. You know, I'm talking about Russell Westbrook
triple-doubles. Right. It's what he does.
But he's a stat stuffer, right? Like, we've made fun of him before on this show.
There's an argument to be made for that. Steph Curry's got rings.
And nobody,
Russell Westbrook does not. And he's going through players. He's going through teammates.
Russell can play on both sides of the court. This is, and big picture, I'll tell you my knock against Steph. He is not good on defense. You can't argue that, Solana. He's not a good defender.
He's not.
I don't think it's that he's a bad defender. I don't think he's an elite defender.
He's not above average. He's not average. He's below average defender.
I disagree. I think we're getting caught in the moment. I think he's an average defender, and when an offense is being centered around exploiting his weaknesses, then yes, his weaknesses are going to be exploited, and he's not going to look as good. I think we're being caught in the moment here, prisoner of the moment. Steph Curry is not a bad defender.
Will he ever make an All-NBA defensive team?
No.
All-defense?
No.
Why? Because he's not good at it.
He's not an elite defender.
Kawhi is an elite defender. LeBron, elite defender. Giannis, elite. AD, elite. That's what I'm talking about, a great player, both sides of the court. He is an amazing – listen, we get caught up, and you start arguing aside, and people are like, oh, you're saying Steph's not good? Steph is a drop-dead shooter.
It's what you do – I always point it out when you do that in an argument, where you'll just go to the – furthest part of whatever the argument is and say, well, you're saying this. Then, in other words, if you say Steph Curry isn't clutch, oh, you think Steph Curry's trash.
Huh?
No one is saying that. No one's saying that. But I am telling you, I feel like, watch First Take this morning. Max Kellerman and Stephen A. Smith debated this with Jalen Rose, by the way. But there are some irrefutable numbers on Steph Curry where you have to at least acknowledge that maybe he's not the guy at the end of the game, and he is perhaps a defensive liability. That might be extreme, but I know he's not an elite defender. He's not going to lock down your best player. He's not going to do both sides like LeBron is going to do, right? You're going to give LeBron, you need offense. You need him to lock down whoever's hot. Like, you're not going to have Steph Curry do that.
He's too small. That's simple as that. He's just too small to do some of it.
He is small, but he also is long, right? Like, he has a long wingspan. That's what's helped him be a defender in the past, which is that length. He can cover some of the smaller point guards. He can even cover the two guards. He doesn't have to cover the best player on the other team. He's not used to that.
No,
he's never had to be that. He's also running.
You're saying he's not used to it. Like, oh, they haven't. If he could lock down a top shooting guard, point guard, why wouldn't they let him do it?
Well, I'll give you this example. LeBron James can cover anybody in the NBA.
All
We've
five
seen
positions,
it. One
yes.
through five, he can cover anybody. How many times do they play a team where the other player's best player is a perimeter player, right, and he's not covering them, and they have somebody else cover him?
But
Kevin Durant
if
in
they
the NBA
start
finals.
Going off, if Kevin starts going off, LeBron shifts to him and shuts him down.
Oh, I'm
LeBron
talking,
is a run. When guys go on runs, LeBron stops the run.
I'm talking specifically towards the end of a game, of a real meaningful game, like last night.
Right. You versus me, let's go.
We're talking about the elite of the elite of the NBA. You can have Giannis and put him on, hey, this guy cannot do anything in the next 3 minutes. And Giannis will do it, right? Kevin Durant can do that. LeBron can do that. Steph Curry can never do that. Again, we're not taking a vote on whether Steph Curry's a great player or not. He's a great player. You can't be that good a shooter and not be considered a great player.
I just don't think you need him to be that guy. You don't need him to be.
Well, they did last night, though.
They didn't.
Van Vliet went off because Steph was on him.
Yeah,
you need him.
I understand what you're saying.
You just said you don't need. There's only five guys on the court. You don't need your all-star to be able to play defense. Be able to shut down somebody else, be able to stop somebody from scoring.
To change the game.
Last night, these guys are switching on every single possession. You can nitpick and say Steph Curry couldn't lock down Fred VanVleet. Okay, that's fine. You can say that because technically that was his matchup. But, man, like when they're switching on every single screen and there's literally a back screen every single possession for Fred VanVleet to get open, you can also say, well, Draymond's rotation was late. Iggy didn't step up on the screen. He didn't hedge the screen.
Okay.
Like you can nitpick and say. Like,
I'm not nitpicking. Early in the game, Steph didn't do anything. Steph was on Kyle Lowry one-on-one. Kyle Lowry dropped dimes on him over and over and over and over to a point that they had to change him. They had to move him to somebody else. Did you see that? Now you're looking at you're talking about damn back picks and Draymond's rotation. Did you see Kyle Lowry destroy Steph Curry for a whole quarter?
Go watch the first 3 minutes of that game, and I guarantee two of those shots Kyle Lowry hit were over Kevon Looney.
But here's the thing, though. When you talk about nitpicking, I'm with you. If you look at Draymond and a late rotation over, that's nitpicking. we're talking about Steph Curry as the elite of the elite. So it's not nitpicking if you're trying to put him in the category of LeBron and Giannis and KD. To me, then, it's not nitpicking because he has to be the best at what he's doing. That's all the debate was on First Take. Like, okay, if you don't want to put him in that classification, then that's fine. Then it's nitpicking. I'm just saying, if you call him one of the greatest players in the NBA and you're willing to write off him being 0 of 8 in clutch situations in the playoffs. We saw the stat on High Noon today on one of the monitors. 0 for 8 in game-winning shots in the playoffs with 20 seconds or less. Make that LeBron's numbers. People that are defending Steph Curry. And by the way, you don't need to defend Steph Curry. I like Steph Curry. I'm just saying, the numbers and what we saw last night bear out the debate, at least, of is that guy as elite as we thought that he was? He's as elite a shooter as you'll ever see.
I can make your argument he's the best shooter ever.
Yep.
But I cannot make an argument he's good on the other side of the court.
It's what happened after they won that title and the NBA kind of shifted into this three-point barrage, right? Everybody was saying, well, he is just as valuable as LeBron James. And I see what you're saying. He's not, because he'll never be the two-way player you need him to be to close out an NBA Finals must-win scenario.
Yes. And, you know, and then the Klay helps him too, because Klay is a top defender. So they're both in the backcourt. Right. If there's a dominant point guard, a dominant shooting guard, Klay takes him, and Steph takes the less aggressive guy, or the less shooter. Steph is protected by his team defensively. You said it, but why do you need to protect somebody that's good at it?
Right.
You don't protect a guy that's good.
You protect guys that have deficiencies.
Yes.
But if you're elite, you know, unless James Harden, I guess there's a defensive deficiency there, and I still consider him elite. But there is an exploitable weakness in his game.
Him and Steph are very equal.
Yeah.
They can score at will.
Put up 45 points and you don't even blink an eye.
Okay, but
as the other team gets the ball, they become a liability.
Okay, Crowder, but who has a higher IQ? That's what I really want to know.
Somebody texted that in. They're like, this is, let's see what it says. I feel like I'm having deja vu with the whole Durant versus LeBron intellectual comparison. I thought this was much more subdued. I actually enjoyed it.
It's true.
I'd like to have this debate about Jim Carrey, because I was looking at the Jim Carrey movies when I brought up Cable Guy is not a banger, not a banger.
Come on.
And I started looking, and I thought I liked Jim Carrey. Maybe I don't. There's not a ton. Ace Ventura is funny.
Yes.
Right? That's a good movie. Dumb and Dumber. It is what it is. Like, it gives you some giggles.
Silly, yes.
Yeah. I like Truman Show. You don't.
No.
I loved Jim Carrey on In Living Color.
Oh, yes.
Fire Marshal Bill or whatever.
Never tell you something.
Yeah. He was excellent on In Living Color. So he's done some really funny stuff, but he's got some clunkers too, man. I did not like Liar Liar like you did. Bruce Almighty was fine. Like, he had a lot of fine movies.
Bruce Almighty is one of the best movies of all time.
The Mask.
What about Me, Myself, and Irene?
Terrible.
That's an underrated.
Turned it off.
Funny.
Turned it off. It
Me,
was so
myself,
bad.
Me, Myself, and Irene.
It was so bad, I turned it off.
The Yes Man.
Yes Man is awful.
Yes Man is great.
Yes Man's decent. Me, Myself, and Irene, Jim Carrey's raising three big-ass black men as kids, and they kiss him in the mouth when he leaves. Like, bro, you get, go watch Me, Myself, and
Irene.
Looking
at some
again.
Of the...
Wasn't he the Grinch?
Yeah, that's Grinch was best, terrible.
Best
Grinch
Christmas movie of all time.
That movie is terrible.
You ever
the
seen,
number 23, Horton, oh, Hears a Who.
I was just going to... Have you ever seen the number 23?
No.
Oh, my. You would tear your eyes out. It's
that bad?
It's him trying to be serious.
Ugh.
And he's supposed to be like obsessive, compulsive with the number 23. Bro, it took me probably six times to get through it. Then I got through it and I was mad. I went back the next five.
Dumb and Dumber 2, didn't see that. The Incredible Burt Wonderstone. I'm telling you, I don't think he's as funny a guy as people think.
You got Ace Ventura, you got Dumb and Dumber.
Right, you got a couple of classics, if you will.
Yeah.
But that's it. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
That was another one where he tried to get serious.
Man on the Moon, that was excellent. Oh, no. I never saw Man on the Moon, but I saw a documentary of the making of Man on the Moon, and that was excellent.
You can judge a movie off the making of?
No, but the documentary was fantastic.
Well, let me read the Wikipedia.
He became Andy Kaufman. What were you saying?
Oh, I was going to say, I'll read the Wikipedia real quick. I'll let you know.
Of what? Man on the Moon?
Yeah.
Batman Forever, terrible.
Oh, he was the Joker?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was terrible at that.
The Mask wasn't even that great, to be quite honest. Like, the graphics were kind of cool back then, but.
What about when the dog put the mask on?
Yeah, I'm going to say no on that? Jim Carrey. I'm going to say no.
Oh, I'm not fighting for Jim Carrey.
Not a banger.
I'll take some hard stands.
If, I said to you, either banger or not a banger.
Not a banger.
Not a banger. Jim Carrey, not a banger. That's crazy. We've come to a crazy consensus on this show.
Man in the Moon's okay.
You read the Wikipedia synopsis?
Yeah, it's okay.
Ira Winderman is going to join us in the next segment. We can continue talking about Steph Curry. I always get interested in what Ira Winderman has to say. And the introduction for Ira Winderman is maybe the greatest introduction in radio history for any regular radio guest. Ira Winderman, we continue talking NBA Finals with him next. Radio.com. Somebody texts in the show, you guys are ripping on Steph Curry. We're not ripping on Steph Curry. I'm just telling you, on First Take this morning, they were debating, is Steph Curry the guy? Can you be the guy if you're consistently missing the shot? I'd pick that guy, you know, he's top 10 NBA player, maybe top 5? I'm trying to think. Giannis, KD,
LeBron, Kawhi, LeBron,
Kawhi,
James Harden,
LeBron, Harden. Yeah, you're
he's
right.
Top 10 guaranteed.
He's
top 10,
right. So I'm not taking anything away from him. It's just like Steph Curry, just a few seasons ago, we were saying this guy has changed the league, which he did a little bit. But that doesn't mean, you know, it's, I mean, again, I'm not, it, this is not the comparison, Robert Griffin III, but RG3 came out, had an unbelievable season, changed what looked, Wildcat changed the league for a second, and then people kind of got onto it.
The Ray Allen shot, he had a chance to shoot to keep the Heat going in that series, and he hit it. Steph had that same shot last night. What was it, about 6-7 seconds left, 5 seconds left, and he came around.
Kawhi hit that shot over Philadelphia, right?
Yes.
To go to the Western Conference Finals.
That's the shots that the All-Stars make. I'm asking Ira about clutch because he doesn't seem clutch when it's 0-for-4 in the last 5 minutes when the game's that close in a closeout game.
All right, well, let's bring him on. Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Ira Winderman covers the NBA and the Miami Heat for the Sun Sentinel, and Ira is powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-4. And let's bring on Ira Winderman the proper way with his proper introduction. Ira Winderman, Ira Winderman from the Sun Sentinel. Ira Winderman, Ira Winderman, he covers the NBA. All right, here's Ira Winderman. He makes the groan at the end there. Hello, Ira.
Shabbat shalom.
And Shabbat shalom to you. Talk about Steph Curry here at the beginning, because that's a talking point of a lot of talk shows today.
Yeah, I heard you guys at the top of your show. My thought is, when you're just a shooter, I think the whole clutch thing is overstated. It's sort of like, is Kawhi clutch because his ball bounced 3 times on the rim before going through? Is Kyle Lowry not clutch because he had his own good look that could have ended this series in Game 5? I think the ultimate clutch players are the players who have the dual threat, that they could also get to the basket. Again, Toronto was in a situation where if they drove the ball, they were in the bonus, they could have gotten to the free throw line. So I sort of hate the all-or-nothing one-dimensional player. And even to his credit, if you guys remember, especially with the Heat, Ray Allen became much more of a dribble-drive type of player who had that also. I think the clutch guys are the Kobes and the Wades and the LeBron for this reason. they give you the dual threat. It's not just throwing the ball up in the air, and if it goes in there, the save, and if it's not, it's the luck of the bounces. I think to be that clutch player at the end, you at least, like a Kawhi, have to have the dual threat.
But Ira, isn't it, I wouldn't say easier, but it seems like that you could take Steph out of a game easier than the guys you're talking about, a Kobe, a Jordan, a LeBron, even Ray Allen with off the dribble. It seems like a team can take Klay out of the game easier than those guys.
Well, you know, or Steph out of the game.
I mean Steph, sorry.
I think it comes down to this. It's how the team is built, and we saw that. When you are so bereft of complementary talent that the other team can play a box in one and basically say, we're not guarding one of the other guys. We're going to let him go wherever he wants. You wind up with Steph constantly going against double teams without Klay in there. So I think it's more channeling a product of who else you have on your team and why there have been so many good to great players over the years who never won anything. That Golden State team finally was built to make Steph and Klay and KD and Draymond look better. And as we stripped off the individual pieces, they all didn't look nearly as good. The difference with Toronto was this. There have probably been 8 or 9 Raptors, if we go down it during this playoff run, who've had their moments, from Pascal Siakam to Fred VanVleet to Kyle Lowry to Marc Gasol to Serge Ibaka. So they always had someone else they could roll in as a factor that you had to keep your eye on. At the end, with that lineup, Steph Curry might not even be an all-NBA player because what he does is so unique, but he needs other people around him. You don't need a super team with a big three. I think that era might be over in the NBA. That's what people are talking about now. But you need a depth of talent. You can only go so far, as they say, with Jonas Derebko.
Can you put into words what happened to the Golden State Warriors franchise just during this NBA Finals series?
I think it's the fatigue of everything. Again, are these injuries a matter of each was a freak individual play? Is it a matter of, like LeBron spoke, those 4 straight years in the Finals with the Heat and the Cavaliers? I think there's just a fatigue cycle in the NBA. This isn't like Tom Brady. And again, I understand there's off-season stuff, but only playing 16 meaningful regular season games, often taking off or deflate-gating a game or two off. This is an 82-game grind with, you know, at least 6, possibly 8 previously exhibitions. You're playing 100 games over and over and over, and it's unrelenting. I think it eventually catches up to you. I think what we saw with the Celtics with Cousy and Russell is something you will never, ever see again, just like UCLA's dynasty when all college players stayed under John Wooden for 4 years. It's changed. I think the statute of limitations is not only 4 years, but I think you realize you have to freshen it up somehow after those 4 years, whether it's changing your team or whether it's a guy like LeBron jumping team to team just to keep it fresh for him.
And I heard a lot of people talking about it, where the Warriors can make it right or do right by the players offering the guys max deals when both of them have, you know, year-long injuries. Don't you continue to build your team? Do you take that much money to try to make a relationship better between an injured player?
See, Channing, I think that's a fascinating question and a fascinating dilemma for the Warriors. These players have made them not only boatloads of money, but enough that they built this mega new arena in San Francisco, when we all know nothing is cheap in San Francisco, and selling all those tickets, I don't think they can step back. I think they're in a little bit of a quandary, just like the Heat may be paying for Chris Bosh or Dwayne Wade at older ages on that after initially when LeBron left. You wind up getting backed into a corner. If the Warriors want to have their credibility, they have to offer deals, not only to KD, not only to Klay, but also as much as they can, really, to DeMarcus Cousins also. I think they're backed against the wall. I think there's going to be a fascinating story, though, if it plays out that way. If they bring KD back, which I think is more likely now than ever, and they bring Klay back, how crazy would it be for the Warriors to be a number 7 seed who get Klay Thompson back in February and get Kevin Durant back in March? I mean, all of a sudden, who would care what seed they are? They still could, by next April, be something close to what we expected this entire playoff.
And, by the way, that would change the entire NBA. Not that it's already going towards load management, but if guys were able to sit out the entire season, be the 7 seed and go win an NBA Finals, that kind of changes everything.
Yeah, I mean, look, we saw it in the Stanley Cup Finals because you see it every year with the hot goalie, and it's so different with what the Blues did this year under Binnington. So, you know, that's a different sport. But I think the real question is, and I was sort of going through it this morning, if you're going to play half a season, or a little bit more without Klay Thompson, probably two-thirds of a season at minimum without Kevin Durant, would the Warriors make the playoffs for the very reason that Channing brought up? That if it's just Steph Curry and just Draymond Green, and you look at the West, you look at the Rockets want to get stronger, you know the Lakers, if they have LeBron and Anthony Davis, will be right up there. You saw what Portland can do. Denver's getting better. San Antonio's getting DeJounte Murray back next season. The question would be, would the Warriors even make the playoffs? But if they do, man, that's not the road team I'd want to face in the first round of the playoffs.
Ira Winderman covers the NBA for the Sun Sentinel. What about Kawhi and Toronto? This is such a fascinating question now.
Yeah, he's so different. I mean, you know, we've said all those times LeBron is a different cat and had different thoughts about off the court and was thinking ahead of everyone playing chess. We are playing checkers. I don't know what Kawhi is playing. I don't know what he was thinking. I think if there's a single player less sort of turned or swayed by a championship, it's Kawhi Leonard, because the man celebrates nothing and just moves on almost like a machine, like it's mechanical with him. Anyone who's going to come out and say they know what he's thinking, I think would be the first person ever able to say that. I still think there's as good a chance that he leaves as he stays, even with an NBA champion, but I can't tell you I can get a read on that guy, because can anyone get a read on that guy?
No, there was a great video last night.
The Conehead.
Conehead. I am from France. There was a great video last night, like a meme that was sent out of, this is perfect video description of Kawhi. He had the NBA Finals MVP trophy next to him at the press conference. And when he was done with the press conference, he left it there like it was a bottle of water.
Yeah.
Like, people don't let their hands off that thing. He left it on the podium with the bottle of water. He's just a different bird.
Yeah, I mean, if you probably ask him, hey, what's today like, Kawhi? He goes, oh, it's Friday. You know, and just move on. That's why you just can't predict that. And it's crazy, because if Kawhi comes back, I think the Raptors are a favorite, if not the favorite, in the Eastern Conference. If Kawhi doesn't come back, and again, God bless the supporting players, Pascal Siakam and Kyle Lowry, but they might be a fourth, fifth, or sixth place team in the East next season, which is why I think everyone just wanted to get the playoffs over with to finally get a read on what's the NBA future going to look like. I mean, this is crazy how two teams in the NBA Finals could be starting the playoffs on the road if they're even in the playoffs next year. That's crazy. No sport is impacted by free agency as much anywhere, even with the European soccer transfer rules, I think, than the NBA.
Ira, what was it? Kawhi is the only player ever to win MVP in both conferences.
Yeah.
Finals MVP in both conferences. Only one of three players to win it with two separate teams. Are you ever going to write an article saying Kawhi has surpassed Jordan, LeBron, Kobe, and everybody?
No, because I think when we talk about greatness, we talk about the personality. That might be wrong, Channing, and unfair, but I think that's part of it. I think when we talk about Michael Jordan, you always hear this, the Jordan aura. You always hear about Kobe's aura, that it's more than just player. Because, again, we could look back and you can say, hey, Oscar Robertson was the original guy averaging a triple-double. But there was no aura back then. The NBA was a small sport. It wasn't the same thing. All of Wilt Chamberlain's accomplishments, they didn't come in sort of the big television era, you know, the social media era. So I just think it's just a little bit different right now, that I think if Kawhi achieves all that, you know what? I could be the perfect example. We never talk about Tim Duncan that way, do we?
No.
Because he's a guy who just did it. So if the players are not going to be as passionate about the debate as we are, we tend to leave him out of the debate. I mean, he really was a perfect Spur. The craziest thing is Kawhi leaving San Antonio, which was a franchise that probably most matched his personality as anyone, and even that didn't sway him to stay.
If he has any, though, latent desires to be the focus or the center or whatnot, to move to a third franchise and potentially win a championship, would he be the first player to do that? Because I saw the player to win an NBA championship with two teams It was, or I'm sorry, MVP with two teams.
Kareem, LeBron, and Kawhi.
And Kawhi.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Rob,
so no
Robert,
one's brought done it with three, right?
Robert Ory's had his championships also. So
no, but finals MVP. Finals MVP.
Oh, finals MVP to three, he'd be the first. Yeah,
he'd be the first.
Others with two, you know. But and again, I think it'll just be business-like with him. I think what you brought up at the top of this interview, though, is going to be the real ongoing story that cannot be ignored anymore is load management. If getting the best out of a player means playing him 60 games a season, how do you apologize to the fans for the other 20 games when he doesn't show up? It's 10 home games and 10 road games. You buy a season ticket and, you know, one out of every four games, hockey, you're going to go down to the arena with your son. You have to check, is this a Kawhi game or not a Kawhi game? I think the NBA, because of these injuries, because of load management, really is going to have to look at the schedule. And I think at one point, I know Channing and former athletes would say, no way is a player giving back money. I think we might be at that cross-section right now where maybe players would, where maybe players realize it's better for their health, you know, and their long-term career outlook to do it that way. Maybe this is a sport, unlike old man baseball, we can't cut back, we got the record books, that maybe the NBA does need to go down to 60 and be realistic and say, we'll start later, get out of the way of football, and I guess we'll see how progressive the NBA really can be.
Ira, I'll tell you now, because you've told me this, players are starting, they're gonna start making what, $500,000 a game?
$500,000 a game, $40 million a year, yeah.
And I have to give that back if I don't play? I'm good, yeah. Coach. Put me in.
I know, Teddy, but again, here's the other part of it. If the max contract is up to $40 million a year, would it be a hardship if you're only going to make $32 million a year? That's what I'm saying.
I think it just becomes the new normal. I just think it becomes understood. I think when, you know, concert tickets went from $30 max price to $150 for floor seats, it just becomes the new normal. Popcorn bucket at the game goes from $3 to $19. It just becomes the new normal. And I think that's where I think load management, I don't think there's a real solution to it. People want to go see a game. They want to be at the arena. And if your star isn't playing, well, you hope you get a great outing from so-and-so.
Or is it like a rock group who realizes if they play fewer tour dates, they play better tour dates, and they sort of realize they could make more money, but they're not going to be who they are? I guess it really comes down to how much pride you take in your profession. I know it's the longest of long shots, but wow, we are at that crossroads now for so many reasons, because no one enjoyed watching the star players drop like flies like we saw during these playoffs.
Hey, quickly, Ira, we had Mike Wallace on the show with us Wednesday. He laid out a scenario where KD would be in play for the Heat, where KD opts in for one more year with Golden State, rehabs, gets his $30 million, and then is a free agent the following season, and the Heat would have enough cap space then to make a run. Is that realistic?
Yeah, I wrote that at one of my Ask Iras at SunSentinel.com, except I think that ship has sailed. Look, if that happens, and could that happen? Yes. Then the summer of 2020, we might see both KD and Anthony Davis as free agents, but I think the case is, if someone's willing, and someone will be, to offer Kevin Durant that amount of money for not playing next season as part of a bigger deal, why would he ever opt in? And he has been told and informed, whether it's the Nets, whether it's the Knicks, whether it's the Clippers or another team, that someone will give him a full $31 million to not play next season, plus $31 million to work his way back the season after. So I don't think that enters the equation for that reason. Yes, if this was a normal world with normal money where every other team said, well, I'm not giving him that kind of money, it'd be one thing. Some team you will see after he opts out, even if he does go back to the Warriors, will offer Kevin Durant the full max for next season to not play, which is insane, which is it wind up giving the guy almost $50 million a season average when you count the season that he won't play. That's why I think it's not in play. If it's different, if we see he opts back in, then yes, then the whole world changes and all of a sudden Pat Riley's on the corner of Biscayne and AIDS telling people, hey, James Johnson for sale. Anyone want a James Johnson? Yeah, then I think that happens.
So we're both going to be gone the first couple of weeks of July. Is there any chance that there's anything we're going to miss when it comes to the Heat and free agency and whatnot? Like, am I, I'm trying to do all the math in my head, and I know that Goran opted in. I'm guessing Hassan will, too. Is there any possibility of anything happening this season?
I think it's more likely before you go on vacation that Goran's opted in. He's trade eligible. That's a story. That could happen. Very much could happen. Maybe even with Mike Wallace's team in Memphis for Mike Conley. I think the moment that Hassan opts in, because the Heat know that he's going to opt in, I think they'll look at possibilities there, possibly Nicholas Batum with Charlotte. I think the Heat could be ahead of the curve because the two option decisions are what's going to be their trigger date. So I think that the next 2 weeks for the Heat could be as busy before the start of free agency as other teams because they'll know their whole deal. Their only free agent this summer as of now is Udonis Haslam, and that very well, again, could be an August or September decision. So I think you guys have done a nice job timing out your vacation.
All right. Interesting. Ira Winderman. Read his work in the Sun Sentinel, sunsentinel.com. Have a great weekend.
I'll be working till sundown. Thank you, fellas.
Yeah, I will imagine that he would. And then right into Shabbat Shalom and the Sabbath. There you go. Everybody loves the Ira Winderman intro song. somebody texts in. I'm going to find it here. Somebody texts in. That was Meshuggah, which it absolutely was.
What's that?
I love Ira, the intro song. You guys crack me up. Why is this the first time I've ever heard that? LMFAO. Yes, you got to listen for Ira on this show for no other reason than the intro music. Radio.com. Radio.com. Ah, that's our Friday final segment theme.
Love it.
Freaks come out at night. 5 o'clock hour brought to you by Funky Buddha Brewery. Funky Buddha Happy Hour. Greg Likens is coming up at 6.
He is.
I see Hector, Hialeah Hector, is already here. He's getting ready to throw it down. Likens, nowhere to be seen.
He just walks in and goes. He don't need no warm-up.
Could be caught in traffic. There's a lot of rain out there. You got a segment or two prepared, Hector? No, no, he says no. Well, that'll be fun if Likens isn't here.
I think Likens is out there with his hazard lights on, riding slow. I wouldn't be surprised. Likens is he's a conservative guy.
Strikes me as a guy that would bring an umbrella on a day like today.
Oh, for sure.
He'll walk in with an umbrella, right?
You keep an umbrella in your car?
I keep an umbrella in the car.
You do?
Yeah.
Ah, hell.
I mean, umbrellas are the size of cocktail umbrellas nowadays. Like, they fold up. They're so small.
Yeah, just jog in wherever I'm going.
Well, I feel like we accomplished a lot on the day after the NBA Finals ended. We still have a few minutes here to maybe play a couple of those songs that we played earlier, Solana, in honor of Kawhi Leonard.
Let's do it.
Kawhi Leonard, of course, the NBA Finals MVP, had the very famous laugh at the opening press conference for the Raptors, and it went viral or whatnot. So just for fun, just to celebrate Kawhi a little bit, my favorite happens to be the Jurassic Park one. I know yours is the NBA on NBC theme.
Yes.
Give us just the Kawhi laugh. Do you have just the Kawhi laugh so people can hear it, out of all the mixes and whatnot? Because it's amazing what you could do with just this laugh, and then you start layering it and you turn it into amazing musical things. Let's hear the NBA on NBC theme. This is Kawhi Leonard, NBA Finals MVP for the second time, giving you the old NBA on NBC theme with his laugh. I love that.
I love it.
But for me, turning it into the Jurassic Park theme is one of the greatest pieces of audio you will ever hear. Hector's cracking up. Beautiful. It should be the new national anthem for Canada. But Solana, our own Alex Solana, our own Alejandro Solana, has gone into the studio for the first time. Our old producer, Falero, he would turn out banger after banger, right? Yep. Solana went into the studio. What's your production name again?
Lil Soul on the beat.
Lil Soul on da beat.
Da beat.
Yeah, D-A beat. Lil Soul on da beat. He tried to make a pareo version of the Kawhi Leonard laugh. I think it worked out very well.
I mean, it's just more questions you have to ask me in order for me to tell you about myself. I just can't give you a whole spiel. I'm a fun guy. Obviously, I love the game of basketball.
Lil Soul on the beat.
I'm a fun guy.
Got a beat.
I'm a fun guy.
I like it.
Lil Soul on the beat.
I'm ridiculous.
That was good, man.
We were talking about Jim Carrey in the 5 o'clock segment, and some guy texted in, "You guys don't know acting," because I was saying Jim Carrey not a banger.
No.
That doesn't mean he's not funny. I'm just saying if I had to decide whether he's a banger or not a banger, he's not a banger. You agreed?
Yeah. No.
Guy texted me, "You don't know acting." I texted back, neither does Jim Carrey.
So you wouldn't put Jim Carrey in on a list of, like, decent actors, though?
No, he's decent. That's fine. I'm just, oh, God.
Too late.
It's too late. It's too late. The end of the show.
Late. It's too late.
Too late, Jack. Oh, look at him. He's so defeated. He's so defeated.
You got the little kid sad smile.
He's so defeated.
I thought I had you there. Jack.
So the guy texts me, "Oh, so says the radio personality that wishes he was half the comedian Jim is. I think you're jealous, Hawk." You think I'm putting myself in the level of Jim Carrey? That guy's a brilliant comedian. Don't get me wrong. He's just not a banger.
No.
Steph Curry. Steph Curry's a great basketball player. He ain't Giannis.
No.
Not a banger. I'm not talking about Steph Curry. Steph Curry's a banger.
Yeah, to be determined. You know what? Hell with that dude. Jim Carrey's not, like, he's
very
not special.
In Living Color, he was special. He was a breakout star in a cast of great comedians.
Yes.
So he was special, but the movies haven't been special.
No, I confirm Greg Likens, No Umbrella.
No Umbrella. Wow.
We Breaking
had
the news.
I had money that you'd be walking in with an umbrella.
Hazard lights?
He's got you have your hazard lights on when you were driving in?
No. He says, no, that's
really? Wow.
Illegal.
Man. Oh, it is illegal.
Does he have Dockers on? I can't see him.
Nah, no Dockers.
All right. I had
wait. I think he might have Dockers on.
I had khaki dickies. And an umbrella. And well, you got like a Capri Sun and hazard lights. And I'm wrong on all of that. Look at them. I love Likens. Likens coming up at 6 o'clock. Somebody texts in Solana. Louis Eustachian is only one shot back. So
bleep you.
There you go.
That's aggressive.
You missed any of our interviews today. Rajah Bell never showed up. Big time does.
We'll get him next week.
Ira Winderman was great. But Jordan Yamamoto, the Marlins pitcher, he was phenomenal. Loved talking to him. Jordan Yamamoto, that is worth going back and listening to if you missed it. It'll be posted at WQAM.com upon completion of the program. That will do it for us. Everybody have a great weekend. We will speak with you el lunes.
Let me tell you something. Jordan, you're around a bunch of millionaires now, bro. Don't give away stuff for free. You got to charge them. I was charging $10 for a bag of chips.
Cuban colada.
2 hours.
Espresso ristretto.
Take down Canada. Freedom.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.